This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of Game Misconduct. I am Don LaGreca. Hopefully everybody's having a fabulous day. We get deeper and deeper into the month of January, and things are starting to get pretty serious as far as all the games are concerned, and we'll recap all the events from last night. I'm passionate about this subject, and I wanted to throw it out there from a multitude of different platforms and different angles on the Ivan Provorov situation. You probably saw what happened the other night for Pride Night in Philadelphia between the Ducks and the Flyers, in which Ivan Provorov refused to wear the Pride jersey and skate in the warm-ups for Pride Night in support, or I guess lack thereof, support of the LGBTQ plus community that was being supported in the Flyer game, and he cited religious reasons. Now, he is Russian Orthodox. I grew up Russian Orthodox, which is very, very similar to Catholicism, so I'm not going to get into all the different details, but I'm very familiar with the religion, and I could not disagree more with Provorov's stance on this. I think we should accept that community and support that community. That's just my opinion. But Provorov also has his right to not support it in a nonviolent way. He didn't commit a crime. He didn't say anything derogatory. I think it's disrespectful not to participate, but he is citing religious reasons and decided not to skate. I think if we are as a society going to ever get along, I think we've got to stop all the vitriol when we disagree. I disagree with Provorov's stance. I think he was wrong. But we'd live in a country where he has the right to feel the way he feels about it. And if he doesn't want to skate in the warm-ups, then that's his prerogative. He has no right to use hate speech. He's got no right to use violence or any kind of platform like that. That would be obviously something that would be criminal, and that would be something that need to be disciplined by not only the Philadelphia Flyers, but the NHL. But simply not participating in warm-ups is a completely different thing. And I 100% disagree with Provorov's stance. But he is entitled to his opinion, and we can be respectful of that in a way in which we don't discipline him. And that's why I don't have a problem with Tortorella or the Philadelphia Flyers, you know, not disciplining him for participating in the warm-ups, because, boy, it opens up a Pandora's box, especially when he cites religious reasons. I'm sure the Flyers don't want to get involved in that, nor does John Tortorella. So I think we just have to be supportive of that and just kind of move on from it in that sense, and but still disagree at the same time. I think the problems we have in this country is I'm right, you're wrong, I hate you, and then it just becomes a back and forth and nothing ever gets resolved. So do I agree with Ivan Provorov? 100%. I do not agree with him. I don't get it. I don't support it whatsoever. But at the same time, he can do, if he doesn't want to participate in the warm-ups and feels like that's something he doesn't want to get involved in, I guess in a free country, he has the right to do that, and we have the right to move on from it. The other aspect of it is John Tortorella is getting beat up by supporters or anti-Provorov support that he should have been benched for not warming up. And as I mentioned, it's a very slippery slope for John to be able to do that, and the Philadelphia Flyers organization, once he cited that it was for religious reasons. The other side of this, which I want to throw support at Torts, is he's coming off as a hypocrite, because if you remember during the Colin Kaepernick situation, he said that if there was any player that didn't stand for the national anthem, he'd bench him. Well, that obviously is a hypocritical view, but let's also take context into it. Number one, it was a long time ago. Opinions have changed, including John Tortorella's, since the Colin Kaepernick situation happened. Plus, when the Colin Kaepernick situation took place, John Tortorella had a son that was overseas in the military. So he was obviously sensitive to that type of a protest. He admitted back in 2020 he's rethought it and thinks differently of what he had said a few years prior to that. So he may have had a hypocritical opinion back, you know, 5-6 years ago, whenever the Colin Kaepernick situation happened. He's not being hypocritical now. And I don't even really think that John Tortorella would have gotten support from the Flyers organization to bench him for the reasons I said, because of the religious situation. So I don't want to get too deep into it, but I also don't want to ignore when something happens in the NHL. And I wanted to be able to throw support to Tortorella's decision. I also want to throw support to, obviously, the LGBTQ community that I do not agree with Provorov said, or Provorov did. And somebody that grew up Russian Orthodox and came from that faith, and I am not consider myself an overly religious person, I never felt that, at least from the church that I went to, was with St. Peter's and Paul's of Passaic, New Jersey, that I was ever taught to be against that community. So I don't know if things have changed over the last few years. I haven't gone to church in a long time, or at least that particular church, but it wasn't anything that was communicated to me 30 years ago. I doubt it's been communicated now, but again, he's has the right to feel the way he wants to feel, and if he's going to hide behind the religious thing to get out of Philadelphia, which has been suggested, and I think that would be wrong too. You know, do not use the religious platform as a way to maybe get another contract or ask out of the Philadelphia Flyers organization. That would be complete bull too, because you need to be respectful of people that have religious beliefs and not use them for your own fodder and your own negotiations. So there's a lot on the table that I just wanted to get out of. I do have this podcast to be able to do that. If you agree, if you disagree, please feel free to interact with me at Don LaGreca, hashtag gay misconduct. So he can do what he wants to do. I disagree with Provorov, and I like what the NHL is doing, throwing support to the LGBTQ community and having Pride Nights. I love it when the Rangers do it, Devils do it, Islanders do it here in the New York metropolitan area, and I hope it continues to move forward in the National Hockey League. And if there are people or there are players that disagree with that stance, then I guess we live in a free country and we have to accept the differences that we have in our beliefs. All right, let's get right into it and take a look at the games from last night. Probably the best game last night was the victory for the Toronto Maple Leafs. They came out sluggish. There were 5 goals in the first period. Panthers are in must-win mode like every single night. 5 goals, 3 of them by the Panthers in the first period, and the Panthers did carry a lead going into the third, but it would be Nylander's getting the game-tying goal, and that would come early in the third period, about 6 minutes in. Then he gets the game winner in overtime for his 24th of the season. I love Toronto right now. It's not all about the same guys every single night. There are so many players having great seasons for them offensively. But let's face it, if the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to really compete for the Cup, and they've got Boston staring them right in the face, this is the team that has really held up the Leafs from getting out of the second round literally for 20 years. Doesn't matter who the coach of the Bruins is, doesn't matter who their stars are, that's the team that's in the way. And the best team in the NHL is in the Atlantic Division, and Toronto has to figure out a way to get by them. If they are going to do this, the goaltending has to be better. And Murray was just awful, allowed 4 goals on 8 shots. They brought him back for the second period. I was listening to the broadcast, and they were having a discussion on the air about, do you bring him back for the second period? Do you allow him to continue to play? And they gave him the chance in the second period. He gave up the goal. When you have a 50 save percentage, that's not going to work. So I do see teams. We saw it with Colorado last year. You don't have to have the greatest goaltending in the world to win a cup, especially when you have the firepower that teams like the Avalanche and the Leafs have. But you got to get better goaltending than that. And we'll see if that ends up happening for the Leafs. But they do get the win. They only allowed 19 shots, so certainly defense was not a problem. It's been the goaltending, and the Leafs get the win. Also, Capitals, they lose. They had that great come-from-behind victory against the Islanders, down 3-0, tied the game, won it in overtime, and they had a second of back-to-backs. Really tough spot for them last night. They threw 36 shots on goal, so I really can't say that you can criticize the Capitals. Second of back-to-backs, going up a really good team. Gustafson makes 34 saves. Sometimes the goaltender's just better. They did a good job holding the Wild to just 22 points. So the Capitals right now maintain that first wild card position, but last night was their 47th game. It's the most of any team in the National Hockey League, and so their 54 points looks a little dubious when you consider Pittsburgh's got 4 games in hand to move up on them. And as far as the Capitals trying to catch the Rangers, they have 3 points back, but the Rangers have 2 games in hand. They're trying to catch the Devils, who have 61 points. The Devils have 3 games in hand. Carolina's got 3 games in hand. So the Capitals are in good shape, good plus goal differential at 17. They've been pretty good on the road, better at home. But the games that they played, a little bit of a byproduct of their point total, and they've got 54 points. Their next game is going to be at Arizona, so they're going to go out west. So we'll see how they handle that. And it's a big game for the Islanders tonight. They're going to be taking on the Boston Bruins, and the Islanders sit there tied with Pittsburgh in points. But again, the Islanders have played 2 more games than Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's going to be at Ottawa, while the Islanders will skate against the Bruins. So a lot of pressure on the Islanders to try to catch up, but they did catch a break with Washington losing in regulation, can draw within 2 points of Washington and still have a game in hand at the end of the day there. So that's good. As far as the Wild are concerned, they're in that battle in the Central Division. They've got now 54 points. They've got 2 games in hand on Winnipeg, 2 games in hand on Dallas. So Minnesota is in really good shape there in the Central Division. I like that team a lot. They're fun to watch. Sabres are kind of letting things get away from them, aren't they? They look like they were the hottest team in the league. Thompson was really carrying them offensively. Their goaltending had been pretty good. And because of the games in hand they had, it looked like they were in pretty good shape in the Eastern Conference. But they lose to Chicago. Blackhawks win it by the final score of 4-3 in overtime as Seth Jones gets the game winner midway through OT. So the Blackhawks have played better. They've actually won 4 of their last 5. But the Sabres are kind of blowing it here, all right? Their goal differential is terrific at plus 13, but just 4 wins in their last 10, points in just half of them, 4-5-1 over their last 10. So they still have the games in hand on Washington, but they're 10 points back of Washington now. They're 5 points back of the final playoff spot with the same amount of games played as Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh right now has 19 row wins to Buffalo's 16, so they don't have the tiebreakers right now. They've got their next game coming up against the Islanders. The Islanders will play a game before against Boston tonight. It kind of feels like Buffalo's window's closing a bit. Florida playing better, but not enough. So right now, I feel pretty comfortable saying that of the teams that are on the outside looking in the East, the Islanders might be the only team that can still make it. Florida still mathematically alive. Buffalo, Philadelphia's played better. They've won 8 of their last 10, but I just think they've got too far to go. And they're going to have to make some decisions, buyers or sellers, once we get to the deadline. So mathematically, even Detroit is still alive because of the games in hand they have. They've played only 43 games. But realistically, the Islanders, I think, are the only team that might be able to make it. What's up with the Winnipeg Jets? They lose in Montreal to the Canadiens 4-1. But I really should say that what's up with the Montreal Canadiens? Have they found themselves a goaltender in Sam Montembeault? I thought he was great at Madison Square Garden the other night. He had played well the night before in that Saturday game before they played the Rangers in a 2-1 loss to the Islanders. But you take a look at their goaltending, and he had made 25 saves last night. Winnipeg is no slouch. I mean, they've got Wheeler back. They're a strong team battling in the Central Division. They're in second place. And they had won, you know, they've won 8 of 10 even with that loss to Montreal. So Montreal kind of getting things together. I really, really like what's going on right now with their coaching situation. I've always been a Martin St. Louis fan. They've been patient there in Montreal. And I told you a story about how the fans have been patient and not getting on the team. I'm not sure if I told this one, that before the game last Thursday when I called the Ranger Canadiens game, Martin St. Louis really made a great point about using a baseball analogy with the Canadiens, saying that they need to have shifts of just getting on base. Like, everybody wants to go out there and score goals, right? Everybody wants to hit the home run, but sometimes just having a good defensive shift, sometimes just making sure you have some possession in the offensive zone, you block some shots, you do some productive things, that's getting on base. And they just need to string shifts in which they get guys on base, and then eventually the goals will happen. They're a young team, but there's some veterans there as well. I mean, Armia's been pretty good for them. Hoffman's been in and out of the lineup, but he has played a little better as of late. But I like what Martin St. Louis is doing there. If they can get the goaltending, they probably dug themselves too big of a hole to do anything this year. But I think the future is pretty bright. Hopefully they'll hold on to Martin St. Louis. That's going to be pretty important. Blackhawks throw 40 shots at the Nashville Predators. Lankinen makes 39 saves. So the Predators, again, really breaking down defensively, really relying on their goaltender, whether it's Saros, whether it's Lankinen, seeing tons and tons of shots. But he made 39 saves. Predators get the 2-1 victory over the Blue Jackets. And sorry, Columbus fans, that's a full-blown rebuild right now. Your team plays hard. They're just not good enough, and the Nashville Predators, who are trying to make up ground in that Central Division, had to win that game against Columbus, and they did. So they're right now 3 points back at Calgary for the final playoff spot with a game in hand. Their goal differential starting to climb up now to -6. They're 6-3-1 over their last 10. That's a game Nashville had to have. And now the Kraken have slowed down just a bit after an 8-game winning streak. They've now dropped their last two, so they stay 2 points back of Vegas with a game in hand as they lose in Edmonton to the Oilers by the final score of 5-2. Usual suspects for the Oilers, but last night it was Hyman getting the 3 points that really was the difference for the Edmonton Oilers. So you look at the points, Hyman with 3 points, 2 points for Holloway, McDavid just the one goal in the game, but Edmonton with a big win over the Kraken. So the Edmonton maintain that first wild card spot with 53 points and 46 games played, and they are right now 3 points back of the Kings for third place in the Pacific Division. And they are have the same amount of games played as the Los Angeles Kings. So that should be a lot of fun watching that race in the Pacific Division. All right, games tonight. There are a few. I'm going to be over at UBS tonight. The Michael Kay Show is going to be doing the show live from there as the Islanders play host to the Boston Bruins. So I'll be able to do a little homework on the Bruins because tomorrow they're going to be at the Garden taking on the Rangers, and I'm going to have the play-by-play for that. It's a tough spot for the Islanders. They need every win they can. Listen, that was a tough loss the other night. They did get a point, but you got a three-goal lead, and you're the Islanders. You got to do a better job than that, especially when you got Pittsburgh going up against the Ottawa Senators tonight. Should be a good one in Calgary between the Flames and the resurgent Avalanche. The Avalanche have kind of found their groove a little bit here. They've won a couple in a row, scoring at 13 goals in that two-game span. It's the Lightning at the Canucks. And the Sharks play host to the Dallas Stars. So many rumors swirling around on what San Jose is going to do with Erik Karlsson. He's certainly the comeback player of the year. He's in contention for the Norris Trophy. He has just been so terrific. 14 goals, 44 assists, 58 points. I mean, this guy is on pace for close to 100 points. It's incredible the resurgence that he had. He looked like he was pretty much finished. If you look at last year, look at the games played. Only played 50 games last year, 52 the year before that. So he hasn't played a complete season. Even you have to go back to, obviously, there was a 56-game schedule in 2021 because of the pandemic. He didn't even play a full season there. But you're looking at point totals. He has not had anywhere close to the season that he's had this year since going back to the 17-18 season with 62 points. And then you look at his best season, you got to go back to 15-16 when he had 82 points. So he's going to blow by all of that. The question is, where is he going to finish up? They can get a mint for him. So San Jose, if he's on the trade block, how that's all going to work itself out. But God, there's so many teams that would just love the opportunity to be able to bag him as a possible trade at the deadline. But he is just having a terrific, terrific season for a San Jose team that's obviously in a clear rebuild. So let's hear from you. At Don LaGreca, hashtag game misconduct is always the way to go about it here on social media. So where do we begin? Let's go with Don L. Weaver, who says, hello, Don. Let me ask you this question. Which team do you think needs Colin Bedard the most? Ducks, Coyotes, Sharks, Blackhawks, Blue Jackets, Flyers, Canadiens, Canucks. Anybody can use this guy. I mean, he's going to be the best player. He's got that Connor McDavid feel to it. So listen, it's a silly question as far as who needs him more. Anybody can plug this guy in. But if there is an organization that helps the National Hockey League, helps the rebuild. I mean, obviously, Chicago would be a tremendous destination. God, the players that the Blackhawks have let go. I call games, and it's like I'm calling the Montreal game on Sunday, and there's Kirby Dach, former Chicago Blackhawk, you could just go around the league, all the players that used to be Blackhawks that are now surging other places. Obviously, Panarin with the New York Rangers used to play for the Chicago Blackhawks. God, there's just so many players, and they just need the shot in the arm. There's no question about that. Kubalik used to play for the Chicago Blackhawks. Obviously, you go to DeBrinket, who's doing some things in Ottawa. It's pretty incredible. Sam Diaz says, hey, Don, I know the Rangers want Trocheck to be a second center, but he just doesn't vibe with Panarin. I think Hedl should be the second center with Brett and Kravtsov on his side, and Trocheck centering Lafreniere and Vesey. What do you think? I get the same feel. He doesn't have a great shot. He's great on faceoffs, and I think that's what's intoxicating, right? Especially why he's on the first unit on the power play, because possession is so vitally important. But, you know, he's not a great presence in front. Like I said, he doesn't have a great shot. Doesn't have. We talked about that. I think you can make the case, or at least I felt going into the season, that Trocheck was a better player than Strome, but he has not developed the chemistry that Strome and Panarin had. It's interesting, Sam, what you say. Some juggling around. I'd love to see Trocheck off that top power play and put Hedl there. I think you're certainly onto something there. Just out of the blue, Michael on TV says hot grill or Goffel grill. These are Texas wiener places, and if you're listening outside of North Jersey, you probably know what I'm talking about, but look it up. I spent more time in Goffel Grill. It's in Hawthorne. That's my hometown. Just a quick story, because it's my podcast. Anthony will appreciate this. Every time I think of the Goffel Grill, I think of this story. I just got my driver's license, so I'm 17 years old. It's 1985, and we stopped at the Goffel Grill to get some food, and we were going to go out. And there was some buddies that were in a car in front of me, and then behind me, I was driving, and these really two hot girls came out asking for directions, and they thanked me by kissing me. And I was 17 years old. I flipped out. So Goffel Grill, I can get botulism at that place, and I would still think about what happened that night when I was 17 years old. Anyway, Goffel Grill, tremendous food. Go there. But he asks a legitimate NHL question. Should players... should Elaine Lambert or Lou Lamoriello be held responsible for the Islanders play this season? Well, why not? I mean, you make the change of coach from Barry Trotz to Elaine Lambert, and the team takes a step back, and then Lou didn't do anything to change anything with the team. You know, kind of tells you that those guys probably have to be blamed. Could Barzal be better? Certainly. Could Lee be better? Yes. I think the goaltending has been terrific, but if you want to blame those two guys, it's hard not to have some accountability with them because of the situation that you have with them being a step different than they were last year. Johnny Pajama says, if the Islanders GM wasn't named Lou, would he have already been fired? It's a great question. I'm going to say no for this reason. Back-to-back trips to the third round. Last year, there's tons of excuses, injuries and COVID. So would the first half of this year, where they're only just right there in striking distance to make the playoffs, be enough to let a general manager go? No, but... yeah, definitely in the conversation. Evan says, who do you think ends up being top four in the Metro? Well, top three is the most important, getting you into the playoffs. But if I and to answer the question, here's how I think it's going to go. All right. I think Carolina is the best team. They're going to go. All right. I think the Rangers will be two, Devils three. The Penguins just don't go away. I'll say the Penguins. I think the Devils, now with their five-game winning streak, they have built up, I think, enough equity to really start to think that they're a legit team now, to where we've seen them go through their struggles and still survive and still be second, and now we're well into the second half of the season. I think, without question, I think they'll be there at the end, whether they're two, whether they're four, they're going to make the playoffs, and I think they'll be in the top three. The question is, will it be... who is going to be that fourth team? Will it be Washington that's played well? Is it going to be Pittsburgh? Will the Islanders make it? I don't know. I think those teams are going to be certainly relegated to the wild card, and they all can't make it because there's only two wild card spots. All right, maybe I'll see you at UBS tonight. I'll be calling the Ranger game tomorrow against the Bruins, so I'm going to see a lot of the Boston Bruins over the next couple of days. I'll be looking forward to that. What else do we have before we say goodbye? We gave you the schedule for tonight's game, so we're good there. So we will talk to you again on Friday. What do we have on Friday? We'll answer your questions on Twitter at Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct. We will also do the top five of the week. All that is going to be coming up on the Friday edition. Thanks for listening. This was the Wednesday edition of Game Misconduct.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.